And we prayed and asked the Lord to intercede. And almost immediately that lawnmower went, kum, 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 and it stopped. And a lot of the people never prayed for anything like that to happen. They're like, did you see that? Man, God really did that. I'm like, yeah, God did really do that. And you know, the amazing thing was, as soon as we got finished, fired up, he'd gone on and mowed his yard. So God didn't want to ruin his lawn mowing. He just wanted to give him a break. So God is so good. Have your name, brother?
Troy.
Troy? Yeah. Roofing?
Yeah. And Sarah Roofing.
Sarah Roofing? I'm going to embarrass you. Is that okay?
It's okay. Caleb Allen.
Caleb Allen?
Yes.
You talk? Almost.
Amy Allen.
And what's this little one's name?
Thaddeus.
Thaddeus?
Elliot.
Elliot?
Talia.
Talia?
Nadia.
Nadia?
Eleanora.
What was that?
Eleanora.
Eleanora.
Julian.
Julian. It's good to have y'all. God bless y'all. Yeah. Y'all stand up a second, please. I was going to go right back into Ephesians 2 this morning, but the Lord interceded. I just want us to say these things out loud. This is making these declarations in the first three or four verses, but it's declaring things that are not as though they were. Well, they are, but you need to know who you are. Say, and me, he made alive, who was dead in trespasses and sins, in which I once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved me, even when I was dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Praise the Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you, it's powerful and mighty and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, I just come against any of my opinions or my thoughts, Lord. Holy Spirit, say what you want to say and nothing more. And Lord, bless this group of believers that loves you. Bless those that are watching that do know you and those that don't know you. Bless the ones here that don't know you, Jesus. It could happen. Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done right here in Greenville, Indiana, like it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. All right, y'all can sit down. I hope as many of y'all that can make it out to this day of prayer. I think it's going to be powerful and mighty. And those of y'all that have been fasting or wanting to fast, I thought, boy, it'd be a good 10-day fast. And I thought, maybe the day of the show. No. I might if the Holy Spirit says to, but he's going to make it real clear. Wow, Jesus. Lou Engles isn't going to be there, is he? Are they having an event too? I know Franklin Graham is having one the same day on the mall. And no, they're not together, but Franklin Graham and them are going to start at the Lincoln Memorial, right? And they're going to pray all the way to the Capitol building. So They'll pass right through. This group will be from the Capitol back to Washington Monument, I guess. So it's going to be cool. The 26th starts at 9 a.m. Week from this Saturday. You know what a vow is? Does anybody know what a vow is? Yeah, you two. Tell me what a vow is. If you don't know, shame on you. A-E-I-O-U. I didn't say vow. I said vow. They just got married and don't know what a vow is, man. They're in trouble. That's good. I like that. I would have said something just like that. Y'all, what is a V-O-W then? Well, making a declaration, making a promise, a vow, yeah. Like our marriage, when you stand in front of a court, you know, they'll say, raise your right hand. Everything you say be the truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. They probably don't say help you God anymore. That would be offensive. But anyway, the vow is not even in the New Testament, but the word vow. But in the Old Testament, it's neder, and it's a promise to God, a thing that is promised. And then commit, there's commit and commitment in the New Testament. It's to give in trust to another, to put in hands or power of another to entrust. In other words, you give over your... It's like, have you ever heard anybody being committed to a insane asylum? They're committed because they can't take care of themselves, right? Or sometimes they're put in there because family wants to get rid of them. But it's when you're committed to something, it's like, you're my master now. You're my master. And it's kind of like when we commit our lives to Jesus. I don't think many people or a lot of people don't go into it like that anymore. It's just kind of like Steve Hill used to say, it's a get out of jail free card. That's not what commitment to Jesus is. It's a lifestyle. It's your life. But anyway, I'm not telling y'all nothing you don't know. Y'all know what a parable is. Just in your own. It's a short, simple story with a heavenly spiritual meaning. It's a short, simple story with a heavenly meaning. Go to Matthew 13:44, please. I'm gonna be quick because we have a whole lot of people need prayer today. Matthew 13:44. Say, this is a parable. The Bible says, this is a parable. Y'all got it? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for the joy over it goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. What's that parable saying to you? Everything's worthless, and everything we give, and when we give ourselves to God, we give up everything to gain a great prize, right? We gain eternal life. We gain joy. Tell me something you've gained since you followed Jesus. Peace, yes.
Direction in life.
Hope. Come on, man. Healing, yes. True life. Life. Zoe life. Zoe life. Okay, go to Luke 16, 19. It's good to see you, Fred and Nana. Real good to see you. I like you, man. I was talking to them on the phone yesterday, and I said, I love y'all, man. And I heard Fred in the background going, I'll tell him I like him. So I get it. I do love him, man. He's awesome. What a personality. Just like Sarah, real bold and boisterous. And I think it must have. We get the best of both, don't we? Okay, have y'all got it? The rich man and Lazarus. Now I want you to say something. This is not a parable. Say it again. This is not a parable. Say it again. This is not a parable. So if it's not a parable and Jesus told it, Jesus can't lie. What is it? It's a true event that really, really, really happened. Right? See, it even says, starting out, it says, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. He did well. He ate well. He dressed well. He had servants. He had everything anybody could ever want on this planet. Right? He fared sumptuously. That's kind of, what's your version say? Somebody got New Living or something? No? Luxury. Okay, that's a good word, yeah. I don't know, sumptuously must have bled over from the King James. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gates. And I looked up sores, and it's ulcerating pus flowing out. I know that sounds really gross, but it wasn't just a sore spot or a boo-boo. This guy was eat up, and his sores were infected, and he was most pitiful shape. He was laid at the rich man's gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked the sores. You know they will do that. I've heard there's healing in there, but I had place on my leg the other day, and the dog just wouldn't stay away from it. But it wasn't to that degree, really. But, I mean, I want you to picture this. This guy laying outside the gate just wanting something to eat, and the dogs were licking his sore. So it was the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Well, that's quite a contrast, isn't it? The beggar was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, which is heaven. It isn't the third heaven that we'll experience, but it's a place for the departed. That's all way too deep to get into. So it was, the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, which translates to hell maybe in yours, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. I want you to get a picture of torments. What is torments? It's like no peace ever. It's like in flames. It's like everything, there's no hope, you're completely hopeless. There's no way out. Hopeless. But you can look and you can see the glory. You can see what could have been, what might have been, what should have been, right? How much worse would that make it? It doesn't say anything about him hanging out with his buddies partying. It doesn't say anything about him hanging out with other rich people and having a good time and good food and whatever. It says he was in torments. I want you to get a picture of this. Torments. Say, this is not a parable. Say, this rich man still exists somewhere. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. To think of somebody just bringing you a drop of water, just anything to give you any relief whatsoever. But Abraham said, Son, that's a term of endearment, isn't it? Like the father never forgets about the son, but when you depart and you leave this earth without him, son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, or a canyon, or a distance. There's a great distance fixed so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. In other words, you can see possibly what's going on over there, but you can never cross over. And that nobody can cross over from there, which kind of throws the whole stuff about ghosts and spirits floating around after they're dead. That kind of kills it. It's appointed for a man once to die and then the judgment. So when somebody tells you they got ghosts in their house or they've seen ghosts or talked to ghosts or whatever, you know what? They talked or seen demons maybe, but they didn't see no departed spirits. That's not biblical. I've seen people get so mad when you tell them, no, there's really not ghosts in your house. Because they kind of, some people kind of really like knowing that there's things like that existing in their house. I guess, I don't know what the thrill is. But you know the truth, don't you? Yes. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one who rises from the dead. Send Lazarus to testify to my brothers and my family and my friends and tell them you don't want to go to this place. And you know what? I thought when I was reading that, I thought there's a little saying that said misery loves company. You ever heard that? So you would think this person burning in torments would want company. But the truth is there is no company in hell. Right? There is no company in hell. You're all alone in outer darkness suffering. You can hear screams probably, but you'll never get any relief or comfort from a human being ever again, especially from God. When When the toast is burning and the milk is curdling, and Captain Crunch is waving farewell. Help me.
When the big one finds you, may this song remind you that they don't serve breakfast in hell.
That wasn't a real biblical song, but I love it because it's true. I had to get a little comedic relief here because thinking about hell and stuff's got, ugh. Do you know where you're going? Two destinations, right? Tell me the two destinations. Come on, church, you know, don't you? That's why you're here. Heaven and hell. Life or death. Darkness or light. What else?
Narrow path,
wide path. Good. And I want you to get something else too. Lazarus didn't go to heaven because he was poor and sick. No. The rich man did not go to hell because he was rich. There's no crime in being rich, but I think he was wanting to communicate because the Jewish culture thought, if you got lots of money, if you got this and you got this and you got this, you're being blessed by God, which is true somewhat. But he wanted to make it clear that you don't go to heaven because you've succeeded and done well in life. And really, the rich man could have gave to the beggar. He could have fed him. He could have done all kinds of good things. That wouldn't have got him to heaven either. It was his relationship with the Father. So you need to know where you're going. Does the one you're following know where they're going? Does the one playing music you listen to know where they're going? Really, think about it. Know what you're fellowshipping with. I'm not picking on young people, but I know what I was fellowshipping with when I was 14 or 15 years old. Mom says, go do your homework. So I went down in the basement, and I had this homemade strobe light. How do you do that? It was weird, but it worked. And I would put on, dun, 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 dun. I'd sit there and listen to Jimi Hendrix and the Doors while I was doing my homework, which I did no homework. And it's like you were pouring all this false religion. You were pouring in all this demonic things. And, you know, there probably never been a better guitarist than Jimi Hendrix, but his theology wasn't real great. And Jim Morrison was a witch, you know, and Led Zeppelin was demon worshipers. So you're listening to this stuff, and that's what you're fellowshipping with. And guess what? What you fellowship is what you will become. So I turned into rebellious. Well, I won't go into all the years I was away from God because I'm not ashamed of it because it's under the blood. That Mark Stephen Avery's gone and dead. He don't live no more. Praise God. But who do you follow? Who do you follow? And this is for y'all at home. I just heard today, we was at food pantry the other day, and I had four people said, we've been watching church on Sunday. I'm like, really? I didn't think nobody watched this. But so that's why I thought it was good to let you know you need Jesus. You need Jesus to forgive you because the path you're on without Jesus is very hopeless. And there's a verse that says, today, a lot of people say, well, I'm going to, you know what I said? I was 15. I prayed a prayer to receive Jesus. Didn't make him my Lord. I tried a little bit for about 6 months, and then I fell. And I remember the day I decided to disconnect from Jesus. He never disconnected from me, but I decided I'm not going to go your way. I'm going to go my way. Does anybody remember that point in time when they did that? I mean, nobody with a mind would ever do that knowingly, but I did. I'm like, Jesus, I believe you. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you're risen from the dead, all that. But you know what? I got some stuff I want to check out. And I'll be back someday. And my plans was 80. I want to be about 80 years old when I wouldn't, and don't get me wrong, if you're 80, don't take offense in this, but well, I can't do nothing and I won't want to do nothing and I can serve God now. That's foolish. Because nobody knows when their life will be required of them. What a waste of 15 years. Praise God for redemption, but what I could have done in those 15 years, who knows? But it's under the blood, praise God. So let's stand up. We're all calling out for a revival, aren't we? Everybody knows you need revival. Everybody knows America needs revival. Everybody knows this planet needs revival, doesn't it? But And God so graciously gave these things in order. Repentance always comes before revival. You got to change the way. He said, repent ye therefore, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Who said that? John the Baptist? And Jesus said the exact same thing. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, repent. It's here. You can grab it. You can get a hold of it. You can pull into it. You can be full with it. Or you can stay the way you are. But you got to repent. You got to change your mind. The way I'm going is not the right way. Now, most of y'all are going the right way. Just pray this prayer. And this, I'm not doing a magic prayer because you need to get things lined up with Jesus by yourself. But I just want to plant some seeds. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Believing in your heart is the deal. Lord Jesus, say this. Lord Jesus. And I know y'all aren't there, but just say this out loud, everybody. There's something about confessing with your mouth. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I have sinned against you. I have sinned against others. And I've hurt myself. But I believe Jesus. You are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. You are the Holy One of Israel. You are the one that's coming again. I believe, Jesus, that you came to earth, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, did signs and wonders and miracles, even raised the dead. I think his name was Lazarus. And I believe, Jesus, that you were beaten and bloodied and crucified and shed every drop of your blood to forgive sins. I believe, Jesus. Your blood washes away all my sins. Wash me, Jesus. Forgive me. Give me new life. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord, be my Savior, and my very best friend. And fill me, Holy Spirit. Fill me, Holy Spirit, to give me power to walk holy. Might as well finish up. And Jesus, I want to walk in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. All of the fruit of the Spirit.
All the fruit of the Holy Spirit.
And I want every gift, Holy Spirit, that you want to impart to me. More, Jesus. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Revive me, Lord. Revive me, Lord. Give me life, Jesus. Woo! I'll take tongues too, Jesus. Yes. Yes, Lord. What a gift you've given us. I tell you what, if you have prayed If you've prayed to receive Jesus, of course, if you're not here, if you're out there, you need to get down on your knees. Whether your family's there or your friends are there, you need to get down on your knees and just make it public. You need to go tell somebody, and you need to go tell a church somewhere you made a decision. You need to get water baptized. Water baptism don't save you. I've met a lot of people that just came out wet. But if you've made that commitment to the Lord, you need to be water baptized. But if the Lord has spoke to you this morning, if you've never made a commitment to the Lord, you need to come up here and just make it public. Why do I have to do it in public? Well, the Bible says if you're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Yes. For the Jew first, and then the Greek. Say, I'm a Greek.
I'm a Greek.
Unless you're a Jew. Lord bless you. Hey, really, if you want to make it public, come on up here right now. Right now. Don't hold back. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Okay, we're going to pray. We're going to let everybody have prayer, but I got one more thing I want to do. I want you, when I say go, to go to whoever the Holy Spirit shows you to and make sure everybody in this place is asked, do you need Jesus to forgive you? Do you need to give yourself to eternal life? Do you need salvation? In Jesus' name, right now, Holy Spirit, show them. Now just ask. Make sure everybody is asked. The pastor, the worship leaders, make everybody is asked. Go. 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 Jesus. No, really, I'm serious. I'm serious. Ask. Ask, do you need Jesus to forgive you?